Father, thank you so much for this time of worship, this time of giving you praise and honor for who you are. We thank you that we can come here to this place and with one voice share how awesome and great you are. Lord, we pray as we look into your word, as we look into our own hearts, that we find a new appreciation, a new value, a new spirit, that we can give our whole selves to you. In this moment, Lord, fill us, renew us, bring us closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're confining and consolidating the creation moment a little bit. We got in your bulletins the creation moment, and you can take that home with you. I just want to comment just a portion on it. It's talking about the firefly, and we talked about the firefly before, but they have found some new things they thought were errors, were problems with the firefly's light. But now they're finding that it's way better than any light that they could ever produce. And so scientists are trying to copy it. It's kind of interesting to me that scientists are trying to copy something that they said was just thrown together by chance. This definitely shows that God is a designer, and He is an amazing designer. And He has designed the firefly with something that confounds the wisdom of the wise. And so I encourage you to read this article in your spare time. And some of you kids can now start making a folder, hopefully, with creation moments in it. And maybe someday when you get up in higher grade levels, even make reports on these things. I think it would be a cool thing to do. But in the midst of this week, we have run into some things that I must say have challenged us. And I'm going to share some things a little bit later in the sermon. One of the things, though, I wanted to share this opening part of the sermon is that our community is in trouble. And I mean serious trouble. Our country is in serious trouble. And I'm not talking about the presidential candidacies and all that kind of thing. I'm talking about the alcohol and drug abuse in this country. It is at an all-time high. It has gone out of sight. We're watching a program the other night, and it just shared some things that we just were blown away. The heroin use, and where people are dying daily of overdoses. And as we watched this program, I couldn't help but see this one scripture kept coming to mind, and it was in Matthew, and I'd like you to go there, Matthew 15:10, page number in your pew Bibles, Matthew 24. 15:10 in your pew Bibles, verse 12. And, talking about the end times, it's talking about, the times when Christ will come again. And this one verse, in verse 12, Matthew 24, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That kept resonating in my mind when they were talking about this epidemic of drug abuse and alcoholism. Because the one comment that a drug pusher, an individual that would sell these drugs, they interviewed him, and of course he said he wasn't selling them anymore, I don't believe it. But he said about the woman that was standing next to him with a small infant. They said, well, you wouldn't hesitate to sell heroin to her? And he said, I like her, but I love heroin. That comment echoed through my head because that's the problem. The love of most will grow cold because now they no longer love one another. Nobody's any longer concerned about one another. They're concerned about the next high. Making money. And sorry about that. I just got to pull it together here. I used to think that I prayed. I don't pray hard enough. Our country, our young people, are in desperate trouble. And we need to get on our knees. And we need to pray for them. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our community. It is a disaster. But you know what happens is what it happens with me. I get busy. I get distracted. And prayer, of all things, is left behind. Why is that? Why is it when we lay down to go to bed, we've got to pray, but we fall asleep in the middle? Why is it that prayer is the one thing that seems to get left behind? Oh, church attendance is not, and we'll read our Bibles occasionally, but prayer just seems to get dropped. Well, I can tell you why. It's because prayer is the most powerful tool that we have that God has given us. And Satan knows it. And he wants us to forget about it. He wants us to think, it's just talking into the air. But it's not. I want us to go to another scripture in Acts chapter 2, 16:59 in your pew Bibles. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 42. Now in this latter part of Acts chapter 2, Peter has stood up and he's preaching the gospel to a multitude in front of him. Soon after Pentecost, soon after they received the Holy Spirit, he's preaching to these people. And in verse 41, there was a group of people that accepted his word, that wanted to receive Christ as their Savior. In verse 41, it says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 were added that day. That's all the population of Crandon plus. Okay? They all received Jesus as their Savior. Now look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, we tend to focus on the first part of that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. We kind of drop prayer off the cliff. But they devoted themselves to prayer along with those other three things. They devoted themselves to prayer. That's not a passing devotion. It's not a casual option. It's not something that they said, well, you know, we don't have time. It's getting late. They devoted themselves to prayer because it was vitally important to the growth and to the health of the church and their leaders. I want to go to the next scripture, Colossians chapter 4, 1793, in your pew Bible. 1793, Colossians chapter 4. And verse 2. Paul writing in verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. You know, you think, well, Paul, you're a great preacher. You planted churches all over the Middle East area and beyond, and you're asking for prayer. Prayer that he would be devoted, that he would be able to proclaim the mystery. He needed prayer too. Desperately needed prayer. But is it that powerful? Absolutely. We limit the power of prayer. We don't even scratch the surface of prayer. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6. 1782 in your pew Bible, 1782, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start with verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul desperately pleading for prayer for himself. Keep on praying, always. We've treated prayer as a safety net, not as a lifestyle. We kind of get hung up on, well, how do you pray, or what should you pray, or, you know what, that's okay. Go to the Lord, get on your knees and pray. He'll guide you. He'll let you know. Here's a great thing to do, and we're going to, in a little while, we're going to see an excerpt of the war room, and I am, you know, we're going to have that film in next month. We're going to show it, and I encourage you to watch that movie if you haven't seen it. It's worth watching several times. But in that movie, we're in a battle. We're in a battle against spiritual forces. Now I want you to turn back one page, if that's the case, to verse 12 in your Bibles, Ephesians 6, verse 12. Now it says here that we're to put on the full armor of God, and then verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor. Well, you know, I started thinking about that. What kind of weapons do we need to use on spiritual battles? Because it is a battle. We're not wrestling, we're not battling against flesh and blood. It's against Satan. It's against the principles of this world that we can't see. Invisible forces, evil forces. What kind of weapon do we use? Well, if I'm going to hunt for an elephant, I'm using a big gun, not a .22. If I fish For swordfish, I'm not going out with a fly rod. You need to use the right weapons for the right battle, for the right thing. When they go out on the battlefield for real in Afghanistan and Iraq, they're not using BB guns. They're using weapons that are useful for that particular warfare. We need to use spiritual weapons for spiritual warfare, and that is prayer. That's the full armor of God. It's the sword of the Word of God, and it's prayer. You know, I want to say we watched this movie, Kathy and I, and we weren't going to watch the movie. We had it sitting on the counter for 2 weeks. And we looked at that movie and we thought, I don't know, maybe we should just send it back. We have Netflix, so, you know, send it back, we'll get another movie. Something just said, you gotta watch it. And something else was saying, no, you don't. This last Sunday, I grabbed that movie and I said, I hate to send it back without watching it. I'm too frugal. I paid the price. I only, want to watch it. So we stuck it in the DVD and watched the movie. And it was so powerful. It just knocked our socks off. I mean, we were in awe over that movie. Well, then the story doesn't end with that. I took the movie out and went to satellite TV and I like this one program that's on Sundays. It's Prophecy in the News. So I went to that, and there was only about 5 minutes left. I watched the end of it. And then another program came on, and for whatever reason, I didn't change the channel. And these two guys were sitting in the middle of this one area, and they were just talking. I really don't care about talk show stuff. But something caught my ear. Something brought my spirit to attention. And they were talking about what they were calling United Cry. And as they talked about it, they said, we're gathering pastors into Washington, D.C. for prayer. And they have about 30,000 pastors that are coming to Washington, D.C. to pray. April 9th. We looked at each other and we said, we're going. Reason why, too, is because God plans things even before we have anything in our mind about planning. We planned to take a trip, and we were going to be gone and coming back right around April 9th. We would be in that vicinity. So we said, we got to go. It all fit together, so there's going to be 30,001 pastors in Washington, D.C. on April 9th. And we're not going there to try and fix the churches. We're not going there to fix the country. We're going there to pray. And we're going to pray for our nation, for our people, for our young people. We're going to pray. And I want to go to a scripture that tells you what the motivation is. And it's back in 2 Chronicles. 6:21 in your pew Bibles, Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, that is. I'm going to make sure you get that one. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14. You've probably heard this scripture before. Verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I know and I understand that prophecy is prophecy, that this country and this world is going downhill. It's going toward the 7-year tribulation and the end of time. That's where it's going. I don't know that we're going to be a prosperous country. I don't know if we're going to have everything put back together again. But I'll tell you what, we're going to pray. We're going to pray about it, that it heals our land, heals the love that has gone cold, heals our children, so that they can follow Christ. They can stand on their own two feet. That they can stand up for Jesus Christ. We, as the people of God, need to commit ourselves to that. Will we pray for our husbands, for our wives, for our children, for our job, for our boss, for our community, for our church, for our leaders? The Lord knows we need it. We need to pray. I want, instead of me closing in prayer, I'm going to have the war room close us in prayer. And so go ahead and clip that on. Commit to it. Let's commit to